The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
I used to sleep at night with a butcher knife underneath my bed.
Jeez. Wow.
And I would think, tonight when he comes in here, I'm going to ram it right through his chest. Oh.
Mary Colbert recalls the horror of living with an abusive father.
So night after night, you live with terror. Yes. And fear and not being able to sleep and staying awake. And is he coming in? And
as Mary learned to forgive her father, she began entering the spiritual health zone.
Welcome to Life Today. I'm Randy Robinson. Tammy Trent is with me. And Tammy, you know, this is going to be a program that it's a little difficult, but it's going to be very valuable. This may change your life today. And not just your spiritual life, because we are talking about spiritual things, but your emotional, your mental health, even your physical health. Because, you know, Tammy, a lot of people deal with some really heavy things, and it affects them.
Totally. I mean, and every time we sit down with Dr. Don, we learn so much about not just the physical, but the spiritual and the things that are going on inside of us that are really more of the root cause. Yeah. Yeah. And he gives us tools to know how to fight our way out of that. But you have to first address it. And so today I want to welcome both Dr. Don and his beautiful wife, Mary Colbert. You are both a massive blessing in my life. And Mary, as I dove into Dr. Don's book, Spiritual Health Zone, I got into chapter 2, which was talking about your story, and I was blown away at your story, but more than that, what God has done through you and with your story. Yeah. So I think it would be best if we start at the top by unpacking that a little bit for us.
Okay. Well, I was one of 8 children. My father went to Vietnam, and when he came back from Vietnam, I was 12.
Okay.
And he started looking at me the way a father should not look at their daughter. And I just remember looking across the room going, I didn't know this man. He'd been gone for 2 terms to Vietnam. And I felt uncomfortable and I'd hide myself. And little by little, he started coming into my room at night. And I became very afraid of him because he drank a lot too. And I would wake up and he'd be rubbing my feet. And I think, I don't know this person. What is he doing? And I push him away. And as time went on, things got worse. And as I matured, things got worse.
Wow.
And the pornography that he was feeding himself on, you know, my mother would find the books and stuff. At that time, it was magazines, you know, and the evil of the pornography feeding into his mind. And from being in Vietnam and seeing, you know, young girls, you know, the military being exposed to these young girls. So all of that is what I attribute is that behavior that went into him. Because my dad was a very smart man. He was intelligent. He helped develop the space shuttle. He invented all these things that help our system. So a side of him that was so brilliant, but there was a side of him so dark.
Yes.
And I used to sleep at night with a butcher knife underneath my bed.
Jeez.
Wow. And I would think, tonight when he comes in here, I'm going to ram it right through his chest.
Oh.
The hatred I was filled with.
Yes.
My mother would help fight him off me. He never successfully raped me, but though he tried.
Yes, yes.
So night after night, you live with terror and fear and not being able to sleep and staying awake. And is he coming in? And those years that I walked through, I just got filled with so much hate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I couldn't, the police would come from the fights. I remember helping mom wash blood off of the walls from the beatings. And I just remember the police coming and saying back then, you know, your family or your wives was viewed as possessions. And they would just come in and go, calm down. The neighbors are complaining of the screaming and yelling that's going on here. And Mom would beg me, please, Mary, whatever you do, don't tell them what's going on, because they'll put your dad in jail. And how am I going to feed all these kids? Because I was one of eight. And I felt like the sacrificial lamb, right, so everybody could eat.
Right.
So there was a trap, nowhere to go, no one to help, scared to tell anyone, terrified. So I understand all those things.
Absolutely. And can I, in chapter two, something that stuck with me as you're telling the story and as I read it just like this in the book, you got to a place with all of this that you were carrying and you ended up in a church. And I love this. This stuck with me and I wrote it down, where this is how you felt. This is such a raw deal. Everything that's happened to me, this is such a raw deal, God. And I'm going to go to that altar and I'm going to talk to God. I'm going to talk to him about this and we're going to work something out.
Mary, she's a negotiator.
Mary, I laughed so hard reading that in the book. I'm going to go, and we're going to talk and we're going to work something out. But what I loved is that you kept chasing after that, as far as like, I'm going to work something out. It's not going to stop here. I'm going to talk to God. We're going to figure this out. I'm going to find my way somehow, because there's got to be more. And I feel like the journey of freedom, the journey of forgiveness started in that moment when you said, God, we're going to work something out. What did that look like? And what did God begin to work out in your life?
Well, I've always knew that Jesus was the Son of God. I was raised with the traditional American family, Christmas. I knew God existed and I knew Jesus died for my sins. But what I didn't know is I didn't know him. I knew about him, but I didn't know him. And until you have been crushed and all of you is gone, do you ever fully understand his life? And so what I did that night, when I read in the scriptures, a person sitting next to me, and I read, if you do not forgive, neither can your Father in heaven forgive you. And I knew I needed forgiveness. And I thought, wait a minute. That is a raw deal.
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't do this. I didn't ask for this.
Yeah.
This happened to me. The presence of the Lord being so strong, because my heart was crying and I was like, God, you don't want me to forgive him. Surely you don't want me to forgive him. You saw what I went through. You know what I lived through. And I felt his presence and I felt him standing there saying, like, if I can make an exception for anyone right now, Mary, I want you to know, you would be that person I'd make an exception for. But if I do, then I'm not who the Word says I am, for I cannot change. And in that moment of realizing I need Jesus to be every dotted I,
yes,
every cross,
yes,
T that the Bible says,
yes,
I need him to be all the promises that God,
amen,
says he is.
Yes.
More than I need to hold on to my pain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh,
so, when you listen to a story like that, I know so many people have been through awful, awful things. Mm-hmm. And you talk about forgiveness. Mm-hmm. I mean, let's be honest, that person doesn't, in the name of justice, they should face some sort of reckoning, I believe. Mm-hmm. And I think most people believe it. And that's why,
sure,
we hold on to, and we hold that unforgiveness. When you look at the word in the original language and what it entails, I think a little bit in our culture, we can think forgiveness means just acting like something didn't happen, burying it, ignoring it, mm-hmm, or not facing justice. But what it means is that I am not going to hold that person to account. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean they won't be held to account.
Right. Right.
And I think the proper way, and let me ask you this, because you've had to really deal with this, mm-hmm, in a heavy way.
Yeah.
Is there a level of saying, okay, God, I'm going to trust your justice over my own?
You know, Randy, I think the misunderstanding that a lot of people struggle with is they think that by letting it go is you're saying, it's okay you did that.
Right, right.
No, it's not okay that these things occurred, okay? That's not what God is asking. He made these vessels are made of clay. They are meant to be carriers of love.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. We're made to carry love.
Mm-hmm.
We are not made to carry bitterness, mm-hmm, hatred, unforgiveness, mm-hmm, shame,
yeah,
blame,
big one,
guilt.
Mm-hmm.
We're not made to carry these things. And when you do, your health will begin to break down. Mm-hmm. Your whole body will begin to break down because mm-hmm. you weren't made to carry these things. So he went to the cross and carried these things so we don't have to. Mm-hmm. And by you letting it go,
yes,
you let it go and you say, Lord, not my will, but thine. Yes, I choose to let it go. Yeah. And you trust. Now, after this happened, and I did the exchange. See, God does an exchange. He takes your life and he will give you his. Mm-hmm. Now, part of that requirement when that happens is you surrender all rights.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No longer my will,
right,
but thine.
Right.
That's when you surrender it all to him. And you can't surrender half or some. Can't do that. Mm-hmm. It's either all or nothing with God.
That's right. Yeah, that's so true.
It really is. It's either all. You either give all of you to him or just keep it. Mm-hmm. Because he doesn't.
Yeah, it doesn't work.
It doesn't work. It does not work. It's all or nothing. And that night for me, I wanted all of him.
Mm-hmm. Oh, tell about the tears now. That's and, important.
Yeah, when I,
this is important.
When I was crying at the altar and I was sobbing and I was realizing the requirement of him asking me, Mary, let it go. Let me mm-hmm. have it.
Yeah, let him have it, yeah.
Let me have it.
Yes.
Give all this to me. I was sobbing so hard, and I was crying so hard, and that's such a healing part of it. Mm-hmm. And I heard him say in my ear, now guard the tears, Mary. Don't let them go back in you, because this is bitterness that's coming out of you. Mm. I don't want this bitterness back in you again.
Isn't that good?
Yes, yes.
And I remember guarding my tears, mm-hmm. like this, sobbing. I took it so literal.
Well, bitterness destroys the vessel. It's like having a styrofoam cup and pouring hydrochloric acid in it. It'll eat the styrofoam up and it'll spill all over the place. Mm. So our bodies weren't meant to contain that bitterness. It destroys our health. It destroys our peace. It destroys our emotional and mental health. It destroys everything eventually. Now, it may take years, but again, if our mind's set on the flesh, will eventually reap destruction, but if our mind's set on the Spirit, we'll reap life, everlasting life. And so again, we've got to set our mind, our mindset has to be on the Spirit Amen. And not on the flesh, and that's what she did. She got a spiritual mindset.
I remember going with him when he was doing his rotation in the psychiatric hospitals. Mm-hmm. They required him to do a rotation. And I went with him to it because I thought, I'm going to go in there and I'm a clean house. I'm kicking my cats out.
Cast out demons.
I'm going to go cast out the demons.
And we had to stay there a month at a mental institution.
You know, they had quarters for the residents.
For the residents.
Yes, doctors or patients.
No, that's not patients.
Okay. Right. But I thought, I'm going to go in here, and I'm a clean house. I'm going to just, because I became very bold and strong for the Lord.
Right.
And I just remember going in there, this one area with these people that were, you know, in a mental hospital. They're talking to themselves and walking around and all these meds. And I'd go up to him and say, listen, I want to talk to you about Jesus and how he wants to, oh, yes, I know Jesus, 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 Jesus. And they're sitting there, one after the other, that I talked to goes, oh, I know Jesus. I know Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I got so mad. I went back mm-hmm. to my room mm-hmm. and I took the Bible and I said, God, either this word works or it doesn't. This is not right. Mm-hmm. There's kids in here who know you and they're in this hospital. He said, when you ride the fence, that's what happens to you. A house divided cannot stand, Mary.
It's the tormentors.
Yeah. The tormentors turn in.
Matthew 18.
He said, they never mm-hmm. gave me their all.
Amen.
Wow.
They held on to some things that tore them apart. That's why they are the way they are.
So let me ask you this, especially from a medical standpoint, Dr. Colbert.
Sure.
If someone, because I know the tendency, especially in abuse cases, especially, but anywhere with unforgiveness tends to be there, mm-hmm. a lot of people want to sort of forget it ever happened, suppress it, bury it, not speak of it. You know, we had generations that said, well, we don't talk about those
That's
things.
That's right. Sure.
Right?
I went through that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What happens to the body when we just push it down?
when you bury it, again, it's that stress response. Again, the very stress response meant to heal us in order to help us to run from danger, like, you know, if you were an attacker mm-hmm. or fight, that's our stress response. But what happens, that stress response is short term. It's supposed to shut off. If it doesn't, these same chemicals meant to save your life become chronically activated. And so when they're chronically activated, it raises our blood pressure, it raises our heart rate, it tenses our muscles up. We eventually develop problems with, you know, tension headaches, and then it eventually leads to inflammation, lack of sleep, worry, anxiety, and then eventually to burnout, fatigue, and inflammatory conditions. Mm. So it's just it's like lighting a fuse that eventually leads to destruction. That's what happens.
I like what you say when you say feelings buried alive never die.
Exactly. Mm. When you bury those feelings, they never die.
They come out in other ways.
They're smoldering, and they're eventually going to lead to bitterness, unforgiveness, anxiety, fear, hurt, rage, anger, get-back attitude, and grudges, things like this.
And the thing, those are all relationship killers, too.
Oh, sure.
I mean, it'll destroy marriages. It's a really bad spiral downward. Right. So I guess part of the question would be, how does someone start to get out of that kind of thing?
Well, like the churches, when we went, you know, used to years ago, the church would last 3 hours and people would go to the altar at the end and would be weeping and crying and repenting and going through forgiveness. But now the churches are done in an hour and they're in and out and they have to, you know, change it over for the next crowd. But that's what we do in my office, okay? You hear people in the room, you know, weeping and crying like in church because we take them through forgiveness.
They need to open the altars again.
Yeah,
the altars have been closed, and that's why we have so many hurting, chronic situations that doctors are having to deal with.
Yeah.
I really want to plead with the pastors, open your altars. Give that time for people to go down. I thank God for that altar that night for me.
Yeah. Sure.
I'd have been a mess.
Because she had to get that, all that emotional garbage and trash and resentment and forgiveness came flowing out of her. Mm. And thank goodness she had literally spiritual surgery then.
Dead.
And it cleared her up. And then when she went and home and she hugged her dad, he had a nervous breakdown. That's an amazing story.
Oh, wow. It is an amazing
story. I know. Okay. You got to get the book and read it.
Let's come back and let's talk about some of that because I think it's forgiveness.
Incredible.
But I want to say to the person at home right now, if you're watching and you don't have that altar necessarily, right, because you're home or you're wherever you're watching or listening, you can actually call a phone number and pray with somebody right now. I mean, it's not the same as an altar, I get that, but it's someone on the other end who will say, I want to stand with you. I want to pray that God would lead you down that path towards health by getting your spiritual health right, dealing with it. It's a first step, but we have that phone number there, and I want you to call it if you need someone to talk to right now. I also want you to look at an opportunity where two things can happen. One, you can help other people with their physical health, but then, Tammy, we will send them this book by Dr. Colbert on the spiritual health zone. You can start your own journey taking control. And Tammy, I know this will bless people as they bless others.
Absolutely. Don't wait another day. Don't wait another day for your healing. Don't wait another day to find an altar. You get to make one right where you're at, right now.
Amen.
If you need to pick up that phone and just have someone listen on the other end, while you bow to your knees, go to your knees and surrender those things. You don't even have to make sense of it, but just make that altar and ask God to meet you right there. Talk to Him like Mary did and just say, we got to work something out.
Yeah.
He wants to do that in your life.
Amen.
He wants you to be free.
Amen.
He wants you to know forgiveness and wholeness in your mind, in your body, in your spirit today.
Amen.
Take a moment and watch this as we continue to help others, Randy, find that same healing in their bodies right now.
The Nile River, the longest river in the world. Long associated with the biblical stories of Moses, for millions of people who live in Africa, it is still considered a primary source of life. But for decades now, it has also delivered illness and even death due to contamination. Yet, in countries like South Sudan, it remains the main water source for its people.
I'm here with this mother, her name's KK, and her little baby called Alon, and She's just been explaining to us how she travels down to the river here, her only source of water. She connects this water that's in the bottle here. I mean, you can see just how dirty that water is. I can only imagine how contaminated it is. But what I can tell you is that I can feel the effects of the contamination of this water just by touching this child. The child's burning up with fever. It probably has some form of a waterborne disease as a result of this dirty water that the mother's having to give to its child. And maybe you don't understand what's going on here. Maybe you look at this and you say, but how? How does that mother give her child that water? I would never give my child water that looked like that. Well, she feels the same as you. The only difference is she doesn't have any option. This is the only water in this area. It's the only water she can give to her child. And it might be the very thing that steals her child's life, but her child will die without water. So water that might make her child sick is better than no water at all. You say, but what do we do about that? I mean, what can we do? How can we help that mother? How can we rescue this precious little life? Well, it's so easy. You see, this one life can be saved by one gift. And every time you make that gift, you're saving another life. As you say, yes, I can save 3 or maybe 5 or 10, what you're really saying is, I'll save 3 little ones. I'll help 3 mothers like KK to rescue their child, to give them the option of clean water, the option that I have. Please, help us today. Help KK. Don't do it for me. Do it for this mother who loves her child as much as you love yours. And do it for this precious little life, a life that doesn't deserve to be stolen by waterborne disease.
I know when you see things like that, sometimes it raises questions. I've had many questions. In fact, years ago when I was in Africa, I touched the water. You see the dirty water, but if you touch it, it just takes it to another level. And it doesn't smell good. And you think, why would you drink this? Why wouldn't you do something else? And on other trips in Southeast Asia, I've seen people trying to collect rainwater, trying to filter their water. Some of them may try to boil it. Most of them don't have something they can boil water in. The point is, they are doing all that they can. But at the end of the day, they have to drink something. And when they have no other choice, they drink dirty water. And, you know, I think beyond the questions, we need to get to answers. Mm. So my question for you would be, they're doing all they can do. Are we doing all we can do? And Tammy, I know the answer because we've seen it.
Yeah.
The answer is simple. Mm-hmm. We go in and we drill a water well.
Yes, it changes everything, Randy.
It does.
If I was to ask you to think about just something as you're contemplating giving, even when I watch that piece, I think she's no different than me or than you. She's somebody's daughter. She's the mother of those children. She's fighting hard to care for them and take care of them with whatever means she has. And trust me, she doesn't have a lot. But I've also seen those mothers pray daily for God's provision, believe for God's provision, having faith for God's provision. So she's my sister in Christ. She's no different than me. She's no different than you. She just has a lot less than we have. So as you're thinking about it right now, as you're praying about it, I guess that would be my hope or my challenge for all of us is, can we do a little something?
Yeah.
I know we're all struggling in a lot of different ways, Randy, but can we set a little something aside for somebody else that's doing a lot less than we are, that's struggling a lot more than we are? That's what I'd ask you to do right now. Just take it before the Father, pray. And then if he's laying something on your heart, don't hesitate. Go to the phone, go online, and give whatever gift that God is asking you to give. And when you do, we want to send you Dr. Colbert's brand new book, Spiritual Health Zone. Just as you are blessing these families, these children, we want to bless you. When we all come together it makes such an enormous difference, and it's a big gift. I want to give them a gift, not just for a cup or two, but I want to take a whole rig into that village and drill them a well that will last for the rest of their lives and will change everything and give them a hope and give them a future. It's something you can do today, I can do today, we can do together. Let's not hesitate. Let's make the difference and do it today.
You don't have to suffer the debilitating effects of fear, shame, and other toxic emotions that can harm your health. Introducing Dr. Don Colbert's inspiring new book, Spiritual Health Zone, a roadmap to adding joy, peace, and years to your life. In its pages, you'll discover how gratitude, forgiveness, and love are keys to divine health that can restore your body, mind, and spirit. Request Spiritual Health Zone with any gift to help drill 350 water wells this year that will provide clean, life-giving water for thousands of children and their families.
Hey, Dr. Don Colbert here. Did you realize that contaminated drinking water is one of the leading causes of death and disease throughout the world? Clean drinking water is absolutely essential to good health. That's why I've joined with Life Today in helping to drill water wells throughout the world. We've been partners for years, and I encourage you to do the same. Give the gift of clean, healthy water. God bless you. Thank you.
With a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well, you may also request our new bronze sculpture, Lion of Judah, inspired by Revelation 5:5. This is the last week to request the Spiritual Health Zone. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
What an opportunity. We want you to get into the Spiritual Health Zone as you help other people get into a better physical health zone. So I pray you will go online, go to the phone, make the best gift you can, and request Dr. Don Colbert's book, Spiritual Health Zone. And by the way, we're going to bring them back. And Tammy, you know, if anybody out there misses any of these programs, just go to lifetoday.org. They're all right there. You can watch them anytime.
Yeah.
But I'm excited to bring them back.
I'm always happy when they're here. I can't get enough because I feel like I'm getting stronger and stronger spiritually and physically and emotionally. We love you guys, and I can't wait to talk to you more. Thank you for being here, and thank you for watching. And we'll see you next time on Life Today.
Dr. Don Colbert and his wife Mary discuss the impact that forgiveness has on your health and how you can live in the Spiritual Health Zone tomorrow.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.